The reading today is John 15. John chapter 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete. So that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Thanks, Lucy. Continuing in John 15 is where we've got to in our little series on John 14 through to 16. John 15, one of the most common questions that someone asks when they come to my house, particularly for the first time, is, what's your Wi-Fi password? What's your Wi-Fi password? Seriously, the most common question that's asked. Do you have Wi-Fi? What's your Wi-Fi password? According to travel agents and to travel sites, the most common question increasingly that people are asking when they're wanting to find out about the place they're going on holiday is, there a good connection? Is there Wi-Fi connection? That's what people want to know. For many, it's hard to imagine life without being connected to the internet. Life, for some people, can't even function without it. You might beg to differ. Well, today in our passage, we see that there is a connection much more important than internet connection, believe it or not, but there is. Without it, we're not even alive. In fact, we're dead, spiritually dead without this connection. And the life that God wants us to live cannot function without this connection. The most important thing in life, we're told here, is to be connected to Jesus Christ, who is the true vine. And the most important thing, once we're connected to Jesus, most important thing in life is to stay connected. Get connected and stay connected. Jesus says, verse 1, I am the true vine. It's the last of the famous I am sayings in John. Well, what does Jesus mean? Well, as we listen to what he says, his teaching about the vine and the branches will help us to understand what the Christian life is all about. What is the Christian life all about? What is the goal of the Christian life? Well, here Jesus tells us that the goal of the Christian life is to bear fruit. It's to bear fruit for God's glory. And we see this through the whole passage. So verse 1, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. In verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Purpose of us being disciples of Jesus is to bear fruit. That's the reason I chose you, he says. And that's what you plant a vine for, isn't it? I mean, some people might plant a vine for decorative purposes. I think they'd be in a minority. Vines aren't the most attractive of plants. There's much more attractive plants. The vast majority of vines in the world are planted for fruit. I was talking to someone from America over the summer, a Christian, and her family owns lots and lots of vineyards. They've planted loads of vineyards in California. They own lots of vines. And she says that the purpose is fruit. It's not so it looks nice. It's for fruit. They're in the business of producing fruit, grapes, and the nice things that come from grapes, in their case, wine. Now, Jesus takes this picture, and he says that that's what the Christian life is for. It's for fruit. Fruit for God's glory. Well, what is the fruit? Well, we get some clues here in this passage, verse 8. Jesus says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So the fruit shows that we belong to Jesus. The fruit of a life that is shaped by Jesus. It is a life like Jesus' life, a Christ-like life, Christ-like in our attitudes and our actions, a godly life. And another clue as to what the fruit includes is in verse 16, where he says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Appointed is a task word. We're appointed to do something. And go is a mission word, the mission Jesus gives his disciples in John 16 and John 17. We're about to get there in the next few weeks, is to tell the world about him so that others can be brought into the vine. So the fruit is Christ-likeness of character, and the fruit is being useful for Jesus in his mission to the world. Now, when Jesus talks about being the vine, he will have been saying something that was familiar to his disciples, brought up as they were on the Old Testament. It's an old metaphor taken from the Old Testament scriptures. Israel, God's people in the Old Testament, are described as being a vine. And that's why we had that reading from Psalm 80. We're told that God had saved his people out of Egypt. He'd planted them in the promised land to bear fruit for his glory. That's what Israel was for, to bear fruit for God's glory, to show the pagan world, the unbelieving world around them, just how good it is to have the one true God, the living God, as your God. But they weren't fruitful. They had the words of the true God, but they ignored them. And there was no change in their lives. There was no fruit. Israel was a failed vine. And instead of being the cause of God's name being praised in the world, in the nations, Israel became the cause of God's name being blasphemed among the nations. And it's a terrible thing, a shocking thing, a failed vine. And the prayer of Psalm 80 was, restore, O Lord, your vine. Make it fruitful again, Lord. And intriguingly, do that through the Son of Man at your right hand. That's who we're looking for, Israel was saying, to come and be fruitful, to come and produce fruit in the world for your glory. And in John 15, Jesus is saying, that's me. I am that Son of Man at God's right hand. I am the true vine. And the result will be that God's name will be praised throughout the whole world. Jesus is the true vine. He succeeds where Israel failed. He is the one who perfectly obeyed God's word, God's commands before a watching world. And now Jesus says to his disciples, he says, God's plan for you is exactly the same as it's always been for his people. is to bear fruit. He wants you to bring glory to him in the world. Well, let's pause and think for a moment before we move on from this point. What does this fact that Jesus is the true vine and the Father is the gardener, he's looking and he's working for fruit in our lives, what does this teach us about the nature of the Christian life? And I think it teaches us this, that it's the exact opposite of pagan religion. Most non-Christian religion tends to work like this. We decide on our life goals, we decide on our life ambitions, and we go to the God or to the gods to get help for this. We want to fulfill these goals, these ambitions. It might be health, wealth, comfort, ease, and we go to the God or the gods for these. That's not Christian. That's paganism. But you do find many Christians using God in this way. God fits around my program. It's all very me-centered, man-centered. But Jesus, he puts it completely the other way around, doesn't he? The Father has his goals for us. He wants a changed life. He wants usefulness and productivity in his mission. He expects fruit. So later on today, or maybe tomorrow morning, when you're thinking about your to-do list, your short-term to-do list, things I've got to do today and this week, your long-term to-do list that might involve your life goals and ambitions, the things you want to achieve in your life, think of this: God has got a goal for you. Christianity, life, is not about God fitting his program around us, around our goals and our wants. It's about us fitting our lives around his program, his goals. It's about us bearing fruit for him, for his glory. Well, that raises a question, doesn't it? How do we do this? How do we bear lots of fruit? And how is it possible? Why should we think that we're any different to Israel of old? Are we any better than them? They failed hopelessly. Are we any more capable of living a life that God wants us to live? And the answer is, by ourselves, no, absolutely not. Only Jesus is the vine. Only Jesus is the true vine. And the only way we can ever be fruitful as God's people is by being in him. By being included in him. By being included in his righteousness. His right relationship with God. His obedience. And the good news of John's gospel, the good news of the whole Bible, is that this is precisely what Jesus has come to bring about. To make possible for us to be in him and he in us. It's big in John's gospel. We saw it last week, verse 20 of chapter 14. He says, on that day when the Spirit comes, you will realize that I'm in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. So important. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So, point two, what's the only way that we can bear fruit for God's glory? The only way we can bear fruit for God's glory is by remaining in Jesus, by staying connected to Jesus. Verse 4, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Do you see that, verse 4? Four times in the same verse, the same word, remain, remain, remain. As you read through this passage, it's there 11 times. Remain, 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 remain. Stay connected to me is what Jesus is saying. Remain. We've heard that a lot since 2016. I was watching Question Time. I said I wouldn't ever watch Question Time, but I found myself watching Question Time on Thursday night. That word was used a lot. Remain. Remain in Europe. Well, no, Jesus says remain in me. We hear it so much here. It's the big point of the vine picture. Jesus is the true vine, and we're the branches, and it's only by being connected to him, united to him, the vine, that we can produce fruit. It's very simple gardening, isn't it? Even I know that. You cut off the branch from the vine, and you will not get any fruit. The branch no longer has any life in it. We can't bear fruit for God unless we're united to Jesus in this very, very close way. It's a vital lesson for us, and we get it repeatedly in John. Jesus, as he teaches, he will not let us get away with a Christianity that is a distant respect of Jesus, mere distant respect. I'm someone who admires Jesus, I like his moral teaching, try and put some of it into practice in my life. No, 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 no. Discipleship is much closer than that. True Christianity is new life. united to Christ. And that's why in John chapter 3, Jesus says to the religious man Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Can't know God unless you're born again. And he says to the crowd in John 6, after he's just miraculously fed them with the bread and the fish, he says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That's a shocking thing to say, isn't it? But what he's saying is that we have to receive him into our lives. And he's saying exactly the same thing in John 15. Same picture, same idea, different picture. We've got to be united to him, personally connected to Jesus, as a branch is connected to the vine. Where does the branch begin and the vine begin? Where does the vine begin and the branch end? It's very hard to tell. It's so closely connected. That's the Christian life. And he warns us of the terrible danger of not being connected in this way, verse 6. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If we don't stay connected, then we're good only for the fire. It's a very serious warning from the most loving man ever. Warning of judgment. And it's a very real warning, because not everyone who starts stays. Not everyone who starts stays. Jesus began this conversation with his disciples with 12 friends, didn't he? Already one of them has left. The one friend down, Judas, has left to go and betray Jesus. It's good for nothing but the fire. He was there, but he left. Hear the warning. Jesus says, remain in me. This is a warning. It's a warning to the nominal Christian, to the person simply dabbling with a bit of Christianity, with Christian things. It's a warning to the person who's maybe just going through a Christian phase, or to the person brought up in a Christian home, person who's maybe simply adopted the lifestyle of their parents but haven't actually connected personally to Jesus themselves. We need to be part of the vine ourselves. Beware of any form of Christianity that does not teach a very close and personal relationship with Jesus. Beware of any Christianity that does not teach that. We need to be part of the vine ourselves. I know a guy who is a Christian now. In fact, he's a minister. But when he went through theological college, and when he was going through his curacy in the Church of England, and when he was been a vicar for 6 years, he became a Christian. Became a Christian one day in the pulpit as he was preaching from God's word, and God's word convicted him. He realized he wasn't a Christian. It's possible to be very religious and profess, but have no real life. And we praise God that that man's got life today. Now, Jesus doesn't say this to condemn people who aren't in friendship with him. He says it to warn us, to wake us up. It's an invitation to put it right. And so if you're here this morning and if you're in any doubt as to whether you're a branch in the vine, then Jesus says you can put it right. I want you to put it right. If you're in any doubt whether you know Jesus in this personal way, then the thing that you need to do today, is to believe in him. That's why John writes his gospel. He wants us to believe in Jesus. And that will mean admitting that we've been living at a distance from Jesus, that we've been living independently from him. It will mean saying sorry for doing that. It will mean asking his forgiveness. It will mean asking him to come into our lives by his Spirit. And if we do that, and the life will come, and the life will begin to flow, and the fruit will come. The words here are also a warning to those of us who have stuck with Jesus a long time Christians, people like myself. The question is, will we stick with him? Will we stay? Maybe we're finding life hard at the moment. Life is hard with all the things that it throws at us, all the suffering, all the stresses. Persecution, opposition, particularly for Christians. Maybe we're finding it hard. Maybe we're feeling weary. Maybe you're tempted to take your foot off the pedal a bit. Coast. Maybe you've already done that. You haven't given up. You're still here. You're just much more passive than what you used to be. And you're much less fruitful than what you once were. We need to hear the warning. And we need to hear the promise. Both are here. The warning, if you don't remain in me, no life, withering death, fire, burned. Promise, verse 5, if you do remain in me, you will bear much fruit.
You will
bear much fruit. And this is the cause of great joy. Being fruitful means joyful. We see that in verse 11. I say this to make your joy complete. Well, it can only be fruitful if we remain in Jesus. But how do we remain in Jesus? How do we stay connected to Jesus and produce fruits? Well, here's some of the things that Jesus teaches us here. He teaches us three things. Firstly, we stay connected to Jesus by hearing and obeying his words. To remain in Jesus, his words need to remain in us. Verse 7, you see that? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, remain in Jesus. If that's to happen, his words need to remain in us. We saw in John 14 that Jesus is the truth. His word has already made his disciples clean, verse 3. His word has made us clean if we're Christians, brought us into that relationship with the Father. And now that word needs to remain in us, needs to find its long-term home in us, to abide in us, to dwell in us, to stay in us. Then verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. You see that we stay connected by hearing Jesus' words and doing them. Please note here that obedience isn't a condition of receiving Jesus' love. Here he's implying that his people, his disciples, are already in his love. Are already in his love. But this is how he wants them, and this is how he wants us to stay there. We remain in his love by obeying his commands. Of course we do. Of course we remain in his love by obeying his commands. Jesus is good. He's full of love. And everything he commands us to do is an expression of that goodness and that love. So when we walk in obedience to his good and loving word, it brings home all that goodness and all that love to us. We're so in trouble without his word. His word is a lamp to our feet, that banner says, and a light for our path, Psalm 105. Without it, we're in the dark, foolish and clueless about him and about his ways. The thing about branches are, branches are dependent on the vine for life. And when we read the Bible and take it to heart, we're expressing dependence. Every time we read the Bible, this is what we're saying, if we're reading it seriously. I don't have enough wisdom, Lord. I don't have what it takes to know you by myself. I don't have enough wisdom to live your way by myself. I need your words to me. And that's why in this church we spend lots of time in the Bible, lots of time listening to his word. It's why we commend regularly the practice of having a daily quiet time, space and time to read the Bible quietly, to take Jesus' word seriously, to hear, to listen, to chew it over. So often, if we're honest, we see reading, studying God's word as a bit of a chore. It's a tiresome duty to read. It's a burden to obey. But the Bible describes itself as sweeter than the sweetest of foods, sweeter than honey. It describes itself as more precious than the most precious of metals, more precious than silver and gold. To receive these words brings joy. It brings delight. Why? Because it keeps us close to Jesus. He's the treasure of the word. So Jesus says, take my word seriously and you will remain in me. So of course that means regularly reading his word, listening to it. But not just that. It means taking it to heart, doesn't it? And doing it. Two mistakes it's very easy for us to make. One is to fail to look and listen to God's word in the first place. The other mistake is to read it and listen, but then not do anything about it. Not apply it to our lives. Doesn't impact the way we think or the way we live. Both of those things are essential. So if you find yourself drifting or coasting today, is it because of this? Is it because you're not exposing yourself to the truth of God's word? And is it because you're only hearing and you're not doing? We stay connected to Jesus by hearing and obeying his word. Secondly, we stay connected to Jesus by trusting his death on the cross. Jesus says in verse 9, he says, remain in my love, And then he tells us where his love is seen. Verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Remain in my love, in the love that lays down its life for you. In just a few hours' time, that's all, just a few hours' time, he's going to be doing that. He's going to die because he loves them. And he's going to die to wash them clean. Verse 3, he says, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And he's talking about the gospel word that he spoke to them just a few hours earlier when he washed their feet in John 13. Talks about washing them clean, about them being clean. And that foot washing incident is all about the cross. It's all about Jesus dying for his people. Washing them clean from their sin. And he says here, remain in my love, stay close to my washing of you by my death. And we need to take this truth to heart. One reason we can struggle to keep going in the Christian life, to stay connected with Jesus, is the guilt that we feel for failing his commandments, isn't it? For not doing what he says, for disobeying him. We fail often. I fail often. And the devil loves to remind us of our sins so that we may wonder that God may not accept us after all that I've done, all my guilt, all my failure. And our guilt at times can be overwhelming. But staying close to the cross will remind us of God's verdict on our lives. Clean. Washed. Yes, we've done terrible things. But now if we trust in Christ, we are completely clean in God's sight. That's the gospel. Washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And that's so important that we grasp that. Because it rescues us from our own proud and futile attempts to win God's acceptance by our own efforts. Trying to clean up our act. That's just self-righteousness, that, isn't it? Self-justification. The gospel tells me I don't have to scrub myself up in order to be accepted by God. I'm already accepted by God because of what Jesus has done for me on the cross. And through faith in him, I'm clean. And that frees me to obey. It also enables me to do something very, very important when I do fail. It enables me to come to God with my sin and to seek his grace and mercy. And the help that I need to fight sin, to overcome sin in my life, I need God's forgiveness. I need his transforming power, but I won't come to God for that if I think he'll reject me, will I? But the death of Jesus tells me that he will never reject me. Staying close to the cross will keep me drawing near to God for grace and mercy in my time of need. Stay close to his cross, trust in his death. That keeps us connected to Jesus. That's why we have the Lord's Supper regularly, to remind ourselves of his death, so we keep trusting in his death for us. And then thirdly, we stay connected to Jesus by loving his people. It's a clear command here, isn't it? It's one of the commands that Jesus asks us to obey. Verse 12, love each other as I've loved you. Verse 17, he repeats it, love each other. Remain in Christ's love by obeying his commands. What's his command? Love each other as I have loved you. And to love each other as he loved us is to love like the cross. That's what he's talking about, isn't he? Costly love. Sacrificial love. Some people say, I love you with flowers. Some say it with chocolates. Jesus says it, demonstrates it, proves it with arms outstretched as he gives up his life for us, as he gives up everything for us. Love each other like that. Sacrificial. Giving up what I want for the sake of other believers. Putting myself out for my fellow Christians. Am I flourishing as a Christian? Am I producing much fruit for Jesus? And if my honest answer to that is no, I'm finding it really hard going at the moment. Maybe a question to ask ourselves is, how is it going with other Christians? How much of my life do I share with them? How much of my time do I give to them? Am I connected to them? Am I concerned for them? Am I caring for them practically? Do I meet with them? You can't really obey these commands of Jesus about loving each other without meeting with other Christians, can you? Without being part of the church. So meeting together is so important. Maybe you're just drifting on that front as well. And in my experience as a Christian, which is over 30 years, and my experience as a Christian minister, which is 25 years, those who stay away tend to fall away. Those who stay away tend to be those who do not stay with Jesus. And that makes sense of what Jesus is saying here. You need to be part of the community. Love each other. Depend on each other. Look after each other. And a brilliant way that we can love each other is by reading the Bible together, sitting down with each other just for half an hour and reading Jesus' words, reminding each other of Jesus' words, praying those words in so that we stay close to him. Well, our time's up. What will the result of our fruitfulness be? Well, Jesus says that others will be attracted to Jesus. Others will be connected to him as we live this life, this fruitful life. He's already said it in chapter 13, isn't it? You might just want to look at verse 34 of chapter 13, just across the page. New command I give you, love one another as I've loved you. Love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. That's a promise. The world looks at the Christian community and sees a love that they don't see anywhere else. They don't see it at work. They don't see it in the golf club or the football club. They don't see it in the home. See how these Christians love one another. That's not natural. That's not natural. It's supernatural. There's another way of explaining it other than that these people belong to Christ, and it will have a massive impact. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. That's a promise that holds good in all ages and in all contexts, in all places. Jesus says as well, verse 16, you didn't choose me, but I chose you, appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Literally, the word last there is remain. Fruit that will remain. When that word's been used elsewhere in this passage, what's it referring to? It's referring to people remaining in Jesus. So the fruit is people coming to know Jesus and remaining in him, connected to Jesus the vine and remaining in him. If we are the people that God wants us to be, then people will notice and they will want to know. How come? How come you're so full of integrity? How come your relationships are so good, marked by such love and forgiveness? How come you're not crushed by guilt when you mess up? And we can tell them. It's because of Jesus. He's the vine, and I'm connected to him. One thing we can be sure of is that if we're not fruitful people, then people won't be very interested. So what's the goal of the Christian life? It's to produce fruit, Christ-likeness of character, sharing the gospel so that people can hear and come to be part of Jesus' people too. What's the only way we can produce fruit? The only way we can produce fruit is by remaining in Jesus. How do we remain in Jesus? By hearing and obeying his words, by trusting in his death, and by loving each other. And if we stay connected to Jesus in that way, we will produce much fruit. That's what life is for. And God gets glory, and because God gets glory, we get joy. Are you connected? Are you connected? If you're not, get connected. And if you are connected, stay connected. And Jesus has told us how we do that. Let's pray. Prayer is another way in which we stay connected to Jesus. We express our total dependence on him. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Father, we ask for fruit in your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your goal for our lives. And we pray that that would be true in each and every one of our lives here. If we're not connected, please have mercy on us. Please bring us to put our trust in you and to know you. And if we are connected, please help us to stay connected. Please help us to take your words so seriously, to love your words, to live them. Please help us to stay close to the cross, keep trusting the cross. And please help us to stay close to your people, to love one another, so that we bear much fruit to you, for you, bringing glory to you, so that we know that joy. Please help us, Father. We need your help. We're so sorry for when we think we don't need you, for when we live life apart from you. Apart from you, we can do nothing, Jesus. Please help us. Help us to stay connected. And we ask this in your name. Amen.